I'm here to worship. I'm here to worship. I'm here to worship. I'm here to worship.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
But just picture being around the throne singing with the angels. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
This morning I have a prayer request from a dear sister we've known for many years, Sherry Hayes family. Her younger little sister died this week. That's hard. I lost a 16-year-old sister when I was 8. Also, a co-worker I work with, her father-in-law, elderly man, passed away in the VA hospital this week also. And she's a lady I taught a Bible study. I taught a Bible study, too. And I hope some way that this week I can encourage her and comfort her. She has to take care of all the arrangements and things. And you know, death is not an easy thing for families when it knocks at your door. Any time. Some people can respond to it and heal and grieve and get through it, and some struggle for a long time with losing a loved one. Just keep the Hayes family and the Gutierrez family in your prayers this week. And I know we've all lost someone through the course of our life. Let's just pray for comfort and healing for these families right now. Pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Thank you.
Worthy is you, the Lord.
Would like to make their way to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If the ushers would like to make their way to the front.
Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising His name.
Praising his name, the task can't stop. Praising his name, Jesus. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet, shout. Praise him for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praise him for the victory. Can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, Jesus. I'll keep right on. Praising his name, I'll keep right on. Praising his name, I'll keep right on. Praising his name, Jesus. I'll keep right on. Praising his name, I'll keep right on.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Hopefully you've been seeing those announcements scroll on the screen. We try to do this before service and during the break so that you can be apprised of what's going on. Do want to remind you tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock, the final session of our marriage seminar, Love and Respect. I hope that you will avail yourself to come and be a part of that. There will be stuff happening for the children and young people at the same time downstairs. And so we encourage any and all that want to be a part of this. Yes, is the focus on married couples, certainly, but is it good information for anybody that is interested in bettering their relationships? Yes, it certainly is. And so we invite you, encourage you to be a part of that this evening. Also want to make you aware this coming Wednesday night, here at the church, we're having a special missionary service. Brother and Sister De Temple, who are missionaries to Europe and the Middle East, they are going to be here in service with us Wednesday night, missionary service. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. I realize that sometimes it is difficult. I understand how the middle of the week is for many, but your pastor wants to encourage you to come and be a part of Wednesday night service as they share their burden for ministering in Europe and the Middle East. And so that is happening this coming Wednesday night, beginning at 7 o'clock. And then Friday, for all of those that are going to the Feed My Starving Children, we're getting together, a group of us going to help put care packages together. And if you are planning to ride with the church will be taking the van. And so if you would like to ride with the church, you need to be here at 5 o'clock on Friday. It starts at 6. We need to be there 15 minutes ahead of time. It's in Aurora, so hopefully we can make that commute in 45 minutes, get there in time to get ready and put together the packages. Those of you that have signed up, hopefully you know that you have signed up, unless Sister Grimm put you on there herself and she volunteered you. And if she did, then she needs to go to you and tell you that she volunteered you. No, I know we're going to have a good time together doing that. And so we're looking forward to that on Friday. And then on Saturday, here at 2 o'clock at the church, the wedding of Brother Bruce and Sister Michelle, that is happening here on Saturday. The invitation is back in the bulletin board. And we encourage you, invite you to come and celebrate that occasion with them. Be a witness of their wedding on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Why don't you stand to your feet? We've already prayed, but I don't believe that there is such thing as too much prayer. And Sister Kellum let me know just a few minutes ago that many of you know they've experienced quite a bit of loss in their family of late. She has another sister who is at death's door. They don't give her long. She's taken her off life support. And we need to lift up Sister Kellum, Kellum family, and all those also. They have a grandson-in-law, I guess would be the way to say it, James, who just went through surgery. The report is good. Thank you for praying. We sent out the notice that he was rushed to the emergency room. They had to do a quadruple bypass, I believe it was. A young man is mid-30s, is that?
34.
He's coming home after lunch today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But let's go to the Lord right now on behalf of Kellum family and her sister. Can we do that right now? Jesus, dear Jesus, we love you. Oh, we come to you in times of need, God. Oh, we ask that you be a peace, be a help, Sister Kellum, God. Oh, strengthen her, raise her up, God. Let her feel your strength and your peace that passes all understanding right now. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. We have you to turn to in our times of need, God, to feel your help and your strength and your love. How wonderful it is to know you, to serve you, to find your help and your strength. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your truth. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord? Why don't you put your hands together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter number 2. Good to have Hope in the house. Her friend Caitlin, is that right? Did I get that right? I came with her, and Hope's about to be an aunt here in a few days. Many of you know that her sister Morgan is expecting any moment, and so she's excited about that. And if you don't believe that, we'll just talk to her for a few minutes, and you'll find out that she is. We're excited for them as well. Jeremiah chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 12. When you're there, can you say amen? Brother Al, wonderful job this morning. Thank you, sir, for stepping up to the plate. I need to do a wonderful job. Thank you, Brother Al. God bless you for being willing to take such a hard subject and make it look easy. Thank you, sir. Jeremiah chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 12. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. That sounds so good to begin with. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be ye horribly afraid, and be ye very desolate, say the Lord. Why? Why be astonished? Why be horribly afraid? Why be desolate? For my people, everybody say my people. For my people have committed two evils. Everybody say two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Prophet Jeremiah, speaking under the inspiration of the Lord, says, "Be ye astonished, O ye heavens. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Why? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Two astonishing evils. Two astonishing evils. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your precious name. Lord, I pray that your word, God, would encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, but it would also warn us, God. Lord, that we would find therein admonition, God, for ourselves, God, that we would see and understand, God, the warnings which are placed therein, God, to guide us and to give us the direction that we would go, how we would follow you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Two astonishing evils. Not too long before the time of the prophet Jeremiah, there was a short period of revival under King Josiah. But now the nation of Israel continues in its downward spiral and decline away from God. Therefore, the prophet Jeremiah comes into his calling during a darkening time for the children of God. It was decision time for God's people. Jeremiah was chosen as the prophet that would speak under the inspiration of God, that would introduce them or bring them to a crossroad of decision in their lives, or they had to make a decision. Either they would continue in their backsliding away from God and worshiping idols, or they would repent and return to God. So Jeremiah begins to preach against the backsliding. He begins to warn them what will happen if they continue doing what they do. God uses him mightily as he, and might I say, Jeremiah, if you looked at the results in the sense of what happened while he preached, you would on the surface say that maybe he wasn't very successful. What he had to say, and though it was inspired of God, and though he was a prophet of God, the people continued in their backsliding. They continued in their idolatry. He admonished them, he warned them, he tried to get them to turn from their wicked ways, but it seemed like the more he preached and the more he prophesied, the more rampant in the ways of sin the people became. He continued to turn away from God, and he tried to get them to turn back before it was too late, before God's judgment was meted out upon them. He tried to get them to turn away. Herein we read the text in Jeremiah chapter 2 where he stands and under the inspiration of God, he says, "Be astonished, ye heavens. Be ye horribly afraid and be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Just as in Jeremiah's day, so it is in our day, we understand that water is essential to life. We must have water. Though we don't often, as we should, drink it in its form like this, we all realize that when we drink most of those drinks that you see, if you read the ingredients of them, you will see that the first and therefore the foremost ingredient in that beverage is simply water. We understand that water is essential to life, but we also understand that access to water in the days of Jeremiah is much different than the access that we have. They couldn't run to a tap. They didn't have a spigot to turn on. They had two primary sources of water in the days of Jeremiah. They either had a fountain, a river, some way of flowing water, or they had a cistern, some stationary or sedentary place that they could go. It was essentially two different sources of water. And so Jeremiah brings these two sources in his prophecy concerning the people, and he lets them know. And I believe it reveals a much deeper meaning to what was happening and what was going on in the days of Jeremiah. He's trying to make them understand the error of their ways. Understand, these people were not ignorant. They were not uninformed. They were not the heathen and idolatrous nations that surrounded them at that time. These were God's people. These were the chosen ones. These were those people that should have known better. People that were readily acquainted with God's blessings and His provisions. They understood the stories that had been passed down from generation to generation. They understood the power and provision of God. Their very feast reminded them of how God performed in their life, what they did in their celebrations as a nation, reminded them that God had chosen them upon which to put His name. What they did in their daily lives, what they were instructed to do according to the word of the Lord, according to the law of God. They were to remind even their children in the day and when they got up and in the middle of the day and when they went to bed at night, they were to tell them. So it wasn't like they didn't know better. They knew better. Their history even told them of the wonderful things that God had done for them. The deliverance, power, and the provision. But it also warned them of what would happen should they stray from God. They understood the consequences of choosing to go away from God. They well knew the curses of Deuteronomy 28 that the Lord said would come upon those that would disobey Him and turn away from Him. They knew. What Jeremiah was saying was not some brand-breaking news. What Jeremiah was saying, he was simply reiterating what they knew to already be true. If you do not stop your backsliding and you do not quit serving idols, then judgment will come upon you. Now, I know we live in a day and age where that's not a popular message. Where everybody wants to see Jesus as this all-intolerant and all-accepting and all-embracing God. They don't want to see the other side of the coin. They don't want to understand that He is also a God of judgment. And that He will not let sin go unanswered. When the cup of iniquity is full, God will respond. And I know, in our day and age, that's not what we want to hear. But they knew to serve God and Him only. They knew. Deuteronomy 10:20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave, and swear by His name. So when Jeremiah begins to talk about these two astonishing evils, we need to understand, he first lets them know that they have forsaken the fountain. Singular. He does not say you have forsaken fountains. He says you have forsaken the fountain. There is only one source, people. There is only one who is the source of all life. There is only one who is the true source of the sustenance that you need in your life. There is only one fountain, and you have forsaken Him.
You have turned your back to the only true source. You know better. You were to write it, and you were to put it on the phylacteries, and you were to bind it upon your arm, and you were to wear it upon your head, and you were to teach it to your children every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. There's only one fountain, folks. There's only one true source. There is only one who can provide what you need, and you have forsaken him. Turn your back on the true source of life. You have turned your back on the one who has brought you this far. You have turned your back on the one who has given you victory over your enemies. You have forsaken the fountain. The first of two astonishing evils to what Jeremiah the prophet looked into the heavens and said, "Be ye astonished. They have forsaken me, the fountain. They've stopped coming to drink. They've stopped coming. They stopped visiting. They've stopped coming to the place." I realize that it's not always so convenient. Sometimes the journey is a little bit tough. Sometimes it's rough. But they have forsaken me, the fountain, and for convenience they have done, and they have committed the second astonishing evil. They have hewn them out, cisterns. They've forsaken the one true source. Might I say this? What grieves me most about our day and age that we live in, what I fear is much like what the Apostle Paul feared. We have turned away from the living God. We have forsaken the fountain. We do need to be reminded there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is only one source. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Try as we may as a society to find another way, to find another source, there is not, nor will there ever be, another fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. There is only one fountain. And I need to be reminded, and you need to be reminded, that the first astonishing evil is simply forsaking him, the fountain. It's simply turning away from God and thinking we're going to make it some other way, and thinking that you and I have the possibility of making heaven our home without going through him. But I rise on this Sunday morning to remind us as a people, do not forsake the fountain. And while there is only one fountain, the prophet also mentions that there are cisterns, multiple. They have hewed them out, cisterns, plural. They have tried many things. There is no lack of voices or vices seeking to turn us away from the true source. There is no lack of all these society built and constructed cisterns. There is no lack. There is, if you will, on every street corner, there is a vice wherever you would like to look. There is all around us cisterns that have been hewn out by philosophy and ideology and people who think they know better. Systems and governments who've decided that they know better than God how to rule people. They have hewn them out, cisterns. And the God of this world is continually attempting to get you and I to forsake the true source for a sister. I draw your attention to Luke chapter 4 because we need to be reminded that he tried the same thing with Jesus himself. Luke 4, beginning in 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms, plural. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And said, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. All these kingdoms are delivered unto me, and I will give them unto you. I will deliver them unto you, and they shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm not interested in all your kingdoms. I'm only interested in one kingdom. I'm not interested in all that you say you can deliver unto me. I'm only interested in the one thing he can deliver unto me. I'm not interested in all your kingdoms. I'm only interested in his kingdom. Get thee behind me, Satan. You offer sisters. And why would I stoop to drink at your cisterns when I have opportunity to drink from the fountain? Why would I serve you to have opportunity for your kingdoms when I can serve and have opportunity for the kingdom? You see, Jesus knew that all the kingdoms of this world did not compare to the kingdom of God. He would not forsake the fountain for sisters. He would not commit the evil that the devil enticed him to do. He would not do what the enemy wanted him to do. And so we understand that Jesus, this one, talks about a different source. He in John chapter 4, as he talks with the woman at the well, who had had five husbands, and the one she was with then was not her husband. Who tried so many things, who had, might I make the parallel, stooped to drink at so many cisterns. Yet unfulfilled, yet coming to the well at a time when she knew others would not be around, she came. Not wanting interaction, she came. But Jesus gives her words. It forever changed her life. Jesus tells her of a source. Jesus introduces her to a fountain. For he says in John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I say it this way, lady, you've been drinking at cisterns. I offer you a fountain. I offer you a source that never dries up. I offer you a source that never leaves you thirsty. I offer you a source wherein you will never reach bottom and find that there is nothing left. I offer you a fountain. Jesus said in John 7, verses 37 through 39, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was making the parallel and making us to understand that the power of the Holy Ghost is tapping into that source, that fountain of living water, and that from us would flow out of our belly, out of our innermost being would flow. We would tap in to the source. Might I say this? In like manner, when we receive the power of the Holy Ghost, it is as if we have plunged our spirit into the fountain that never shall run dry. It is as if we have tapped into the source that will always supply. It will give us that which we have need of, for it is a fountain that flows. It is living. It does not settle. It does not become stagnant. And true freedom, true liberty, these things are a part of the flow. One of my favorite lines in the song that we sing is simply, it's the overflow of a forgiven soul. And now we see you, God, and our hearts cannot be silent. I can't just let things stay stagnant. I can't just settle. There's got to be a flow. There's got to be movement. It's no wonder why one of the first signs of someone who is struggling, one of the first signs of individuals who are backsliding, is the movement begins to wane. And the waters become stagnant and still. And so I implore you, I say, I would ask of you, don't forsake the fountain for cisterns. Don't go to where there is a limited supply. Yes, for a while, cisterns will satisfy. The Bible tells us there is pleasure in sin for a season. For a while, we'll feel good. For a while, it will nourish to some extent. For a while, we will feel satisfied. But before long, we will find the cistern has become dry. Because cisterns, catch this, cisterns and their capacity to hold water is dependent upon seasons. The rainy season is there, and the blessings are pouring down and things are happening and all is good. It's easy to see validity in the cistern. It's easy to find some credibility in just coming to a cistern, to hewing out my own little place and having my own little supply, if you will. But what about when the dry season comes? What about when there's no longer flow, if you will? What about things dry up and now I've reached bottom and there's nothing left? It's just dry dust. It's just desolation. What happens then? How many have come to that place where they realize that cisterns leave them empty and unfulfilled, unable to quench their thirst? Something else that I've come to understand in the difference between a fountain and a cistern. Fountains are for everyone. Cisterns were often dug by families or individuals for their own personal supply. Maybe to irrigate their grounds and their crops, or maybe to provide water for their livestock. Cisterns were oftentimes hewn out by families or individuals for their own personal well-being. Say this right here. If your service for God is simply about you and your own well-being, I'm sorry to inform you, you are just simply hewing out cisterns. But if you've determined to tap into the fountain, and the fountain is for everyone, my walk in relationship with God is not just for me. And it's not just for my family. I pray that they learn, and I pray that they tap into the source themselves. But I also need to understand it's not just for me, and it's not just for my family. It's for anybody and everybody. I want my walk with God to influence and impact all those around about me. See, the fountain is to be accessed by all. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Fountains are free. The fountain is free. The fountain of God. He paid the price for you and I to come and drink at the fountain. He paid the price. We, in and of ourselves, would never be available to come and partake of the fountain, but He made it possible. And so you and I have opportunity to partake of the fountain. It's free. Make no mistake, a cistern will cost you everything. For what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What I endeavor to do in ministry, I seek to compel people to do as I preach, is come to the fountain. Reverse the process which has you backsliding. Forsake the cistern and come to the fountain. Forsake the cistern and come to the fountain. Don't forsake the fountain and hewn out cisterns, but rather forsake the cisterns and come to the fountain. What I endeavor to do in my walk in relationship with God is to make people know there is a fountain. There's a source that never runs dry. There is one who will never leave nor forsake. There is one, no matter how many times you come, there. It doesn't matter. Last night, as I prepared for this morning, I sat at the desk, preparation, struggling. Begin to pray. As I begin to pray, I begin to repent. I've been grumpy. I've been short with my children. Frustrated, didn't even know why. It's one of those days, dealing with stuff. For the most part, I, like many others, I'm able to hide it well, but those closest to me see it. They recognize it. While we were playing a game with the kids and kept getting on to them because they wouldn't be still and they wouldn't sit down, all over the place. My wife, in her rather loving way with her pink megaphone, said, why don't you just go study and we'll finish. I realized, well, you're being a jerk. Me, not her, me. I'll make that straight for all blue and pink hearing aids. But even though I'd been a jerk, even though I'd been short with my kids and I hadn't been the type of father and husband that I should throughout the day, I began to pray. I didn't hear a voice that said, no, you can't drink right now. as I begin to pray, begin to feel the power of God. It's not my worthiness, it's not my righteousness, it's not my ability to be. It gives me access to the fountain. It's because of Him. As I begin to pray, I realize that even though I've been wrong in the day, and even though I had done some things I was not proud of, since my family, my father did not turn me away and say, "No, you can't drink right now." He let me bury my face in the waters and drink. How refreshing. How satisfying. Thank you, Jesus, for the fountain. I don't want to be guilty of committing either of these two astonishing evils. I don't want to forsake the fountain. I don't want to create my own cisterns and think that they are what will supply. I want to come to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you Jesus. I give you the fountain that never shall run dry. In the remaining moments of this service, these altars are open if you'd like to come and drink of the fountain. Maybe you've noticed you started constructing some cisterns in your life, and you're expecting something else to fulfill and satisfy, and you become disappointed, and you're dry and desolate. I implore you, forsake the cistern. Find the fountain. Come, you all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the fountain. Come, drink of the water of life freely. Come, feel the refreshing. Move the power of God as it sweeps over your spirit. Fathomless billows of love. Fountain, its depths you will never explore. Its width you will never transverse. It's never ending. Found for all. I give you Jesus.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
now. Thank you. Your word is true. I pray that we can look at the example set in Scripture. That we can see. Though times may be different, amenities, access to different things may be different in our day. That in Jeremiah's day, the principle is still the same. For all those that are drinking at cisterns, for those we rub shoulders with, those that maybe we're in the workplace with, those sports fanatics, once the season is over and the team they rooted for either won or lost, still
I don't wait till next season. It's a sister. For those that try to satisfy with material things, purchase and possess, only realize they get old and don't hold their luster anymore. It's a sister. For those of us who have tapped into the source, realize on any given day, at any given time, in any given place, the source, the fountain, I can be nourished. I can be strengthened. Certainly I drink on Sunday, but I can drink on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Every day I have opportunity. So Lord, help me forsake cisterns and drink at the fountain. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I almost forgot. I did not forget. Wow. Man, that went downhill quick. Some days ago, years ago, on this day, someone very special was born. And today is her birthday. Yeah, let's get that out of the way so it's not stepped on. Apologies. And the kids have something that they would like to share.
Say, Sister Wells, from all of us at the church, we do love you and we appreciate you, and we do have a little something for you.
I guess she's not giving a speech. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.